You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give the information, asking for me. What blood makes noise? Is it ringing in my ear? Blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. How was that for an hour? How good is Doug Hagman's information? I mean, I'm looking into this, I'm investigating this, and I felt like I was sitting in a first grade classroom being educated on the ABCs. This was unbelievable what I just heard. Not only is it outrageous, I'm still stunned mentally by the totality of what Doug was able to bring forth, and I want to really thank Doug. I talked to him over the break, and we're going to do a part two in hour number one next week. This is just too hot. And by the way, over the break, I was looking at my phone, and I have another email from someone who claims to have State Department ties to child sex trafficking using diplomatic pouches. So now we're up to four. And I want to be clear, Monica Wasilowski did not say that. Her only statement in this area was that woman from Saudi Arabia travels there a lot, keeps child sex trafficking within the United States out of their brochures, only portrays it in foreign markets. That's it. And that got me running. And when I ran with that, that's when the apple started to fall from the tree and I started getting information. Anyway, we'll be following up with Doug next week. And thanks to Doug. And make sure you pick up a copy of his book, Stained by Blood, if you haven't done so. Well, the next 2 hours are going to be just as exciting, but albeit take us in a different direction. But you're going to hear the same kind of satanic evil rear its ugly head through Steve Quayle's presentation as you did with Doug. I mean, these people are nothing but pure, unmitigated evil spawned by Satan. And that's the commonality between what Doug gave us and what Steve is going to give us. Steve has a company. I'm going to have him talk to you about it here because I'm a customer of Steve, and I wanted to convert some of my cash to gold because my cash is going to be worthless when they take down the system, because they're not going to give your money back when it's in the banks. Steve, welcome to the show, and I'd like to start off real quick with just a brief explanation of what you do at Renaissance Precious Metals and how people can get a hold of you.
Well, thank you, Dave. At Renaissance Precious Metals, we pretty much deal with silver, gold, platinum, palladium, bullion, both in coin and bar form. I don't sell, nor have I sold for the last 25 years, any, quote, numismatic coins or semi-numismatic coins. I believe that, obviously, that people who have, like you said, cash, that want to maintain purchasing power should be investing. And when I say investing, should be acquiring precious metals, because, look, we've all been telling everybody and watching the days, and I'm actually saying foretelling the days when the world's economic systems are going to come into a very dangerous crisis point. And all the smartest guys in the world, sure, everybody missed the fact that the control over the precious metals market by paper, in other words, the people that are manipulating the gold and silver market, they're selling gold and silver that does not exist. It's my contention, based on all the people I've talked to, that at some point China's going to call the West bluff on not having any gold, and then China's going to produce their gold hoards, which some people in China have told me is 30,000 tons. Now, that's way higher. And at that point, Dave, gold and silver will explode cliff high. The Webbots has been talking about silver is going to be so valuable, right, because of its new product. So I sell gold and silver coins, but I tell people, do not buy that. Do not acquire any precious metals until after you've gotten your food first and your basic survival supplies. And people who are on fixed incomes, you do well all to acquire extra food, because we're already watching, Dave, across the world, the volcanic ash is being carried up into the upper atmosphere, and also weather warfare being waged against different countries of the world. We're seeing things that are absolutely going to interrupt the flow of vegetables and fruits, and it's going to negatively impact. So food costs are going to explode. So, you know, if you get an extra $20, get an extra, you know, dozen cans of chunky beef soup if you like it, or chicken soup or whatever. But again, the point is, for those who are going to be traveling or think they're going to be headed out of here at any point in the future, then gold is much easier to carry out large amounts. You are allowed to carry it out of the country as long as you declare it. The issue is that at some point there's running money and there's spending money. Silver is for food and barter. Gold is for savings and major purchase acquisition. By the way, thank you for your business, and obviously I would never say that, because it's up to you. You know, I have a real tight, I guess you'd say, set of rules, and I don't tell anybody anything of who buys anything, but I'm glad that I was able to help you and so many others. So, you know, that's what Renaissance Precious Metals does. If people want to get a hold of me, they can send me an email and put metals and just in the subject line and say, contact me, give me a phone number, and I'll call you back. Most guys who have been in the metals business don't make contact as an owner of their company with the people they deal with, and I do, and I have always done that, unless I was physically unable to. So again, you can send me an email at steve777@stevequayle.com.
And Steve, is there a number they can call you at as well?
Sure. And our phones open at 9 in the morning till 5. Thank you, Dave. 406-586-4840. 406-586-4840.
Okay. That's really good. Yeah, it's such good stuff, because people are going to be... This happened on my mom's side of the family, you know, during the Depression, when she was a very little girl. They had money. They were people of means, and they lost it all in the Depression. So it's been part of my family folklore that, hey, you know, you don't leave your money in the bank. You don't leave all of it in the bank. You diversify. And I like your saying, Steve, what you have is, if you can't touch it, you don't own it. Boy, is that ever true? Truer words were never spoken. Well,
and go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that I want to jump into where we're going to go, but go ahead and finish up your comment.
Well, just real simply, even some of the most famous financial guys learned that it was one thing to acquire gold and leave it with someone else, and then when that someone else goes bankrupt, it's very difficult, if not impossible, you know, to acquire the gold. So, by the way, again, if people have IRAs, KEOs, it's legal to set up a self-directed IRA and KEO, and I can move people into that, and you don't suffer any penalty, and you don't suffer any withdrawal or interest. So, you know, the point being is, if you can't touch it, you don't own it. And that's the same thing with getting a grasp on what you write, Dave, in your columns and articles, and the different essays that you post, and the different investigations. If people don't really start to take hold of this, they're going to be steamrolled. And tonight, I didn't hear Doug because I came in late to the telephone, but what I think that is the defining moment in everything from Pedogate, you know, people call it Pizzagate. It's not Pizzagate. It's Pedogate. It's pedophiles. It is the international and global sacrifice of children in the arms of Moloch and cannibalism. And I'm sorry, but tonight, let's just talk as if we're talking to people that need to grow up. And I don't mean that to sound arrogant or with any type of supremacy attitude of any kind, like we know and they don't. But I think it's critical that people understand this, because the same people that allowed the rise of Adolf Hitler, the global world powers are waiting for that entity to show up on the world stage. It's more than a system. As powerful as the Nazi war machine was, as powerful as all of the other war machines that are building in the world and even in the United States, and the power of revolution and the different factions that are going to be turned loose in a civil war, there's an evil entity behind it. And just, if I might just take a minute to lay this out for people, when I wrote Empire Beneath the Ice, I wanted to approach it from a standpoint, how the Nazis won World War II. And unless people understand the fact that the Nazis were invoking evil spirits, that they were giving, the evil spirits were literally being born out of ectoplasmic goo, just like the old Ghostbusters movie, and that the historic record states that they were being given advanced science, advanced mathematics, and they were conjuring up evil spirits, and in line with the announcement that Hitler, by Dietrich Eckart, who basically made the statement that he's the guy that took credit for announcing to the world that Hitler was to be an antichrist to rule the whole world. Here's what he said, and then we'll go wherever you want to go, Dave. He said, "Follow Hitler, he will dance, but it is I who have called the tune. I have initiated him into the secret doctrine, opened his centers and vision, and given him the means to communicate with the powers. Do not mourn for me. I shall have influenced history more than any German." That's what he said on his deathbed, okay? And then, as one of the founding members of the Nazi Party, he basically made this statement, okay, that he said he's on the lookout for a pupil. He claimed to his fellow adepts, or people that followed him, the Thule group, that he had personally received a kind of a satanic annunciation that he, Eckart, was destined to prepare the vessel of the Antichrist, the man inspired, I'm reading this, by Lucifer, to conquer the world and lead the Aryan race to glory. Now, that people can just dismiss that, but even during the Nuremberg War Trials, where some of the Nazis were tried, obviously, and executed or imprisoned, many of them escaped to initially Argentina, Brazil, even into Peru, and other places throughout South America. And unless, and this is why it's critical, we're seeing the rise of the demand for Antichrist in the world even right now. And you and I both have made the statement, and I know that that God has given us a reprieve. Now, there are people that are busting my chops over that who are claiming to be Christians, but they never spoke up against Hillary Clinton. They never spoke up against, obviously, nor were they loud against the child sacrifice, human cannibalism, snuff films, and everything horrible done to children. They never spoke up about the our Christian brethren in Syria being beheaded, being cannibalized, being sliced and diced and sold in the meat market, children having their hearts ripped out. Now, Dave, it's about time people get a grasp of what we're up against, because I think, in essence, so many years on talk radio, and I only speak for myself, and on the internet, and being on, 10,000 plus hours, if you add it all up, maybe more than that, of trying to warn people. But now that the warnings have gone out, what are the solutions? First of all, none of this can be won strictly in the physical realm. Now, I believe in being locked and loaded and the fastest guy of the holster. I just want to make that clear. I am the last guy who, I don't believe in pacifism. I believe it's a denial of faith. But I also believe, unless you identify the strong man, you can't deal with his soldiers. And so that's the principle that Jesus taught us. Now, when you go to the Nazis, when you go to the absolute advanced technology they had and that they exhibited against the United States in the Antarctic in 1947, the subtitle of my book is How the Nazis Won World War II. And one of the most famous rocket scientists from Germany, Hermann Oberst, said this. He's, by the way, the same class as Dr. Wernher von Braun. They work together. "We cannot take credit for our record advancement in certain specific fields alone, and we have been helped by the people of other worlds." Now, again, in my book, Empire Beneath the Ice, I spend a lot of time discussing about how the Ahnenerbe, the, if you will, the ancestral heritage of Germany, went throughout the world searching for the remnants of advanced technology, secret races, and the power structure. You know, even Nietzsche, who was looking for the Übermensch or Superman, they believed that a race of giants existed, and so they were out looking for anything and everything they could to incorporate that into their Superman. Well, fast forward from the time of, let's say, 1947 forward, and you know, and you've talked about it, we've talked about it together, Operation Paperclip. There were, by by the way, eight of those programs, where we brought in the leading Nazi scientists, we brought in the leading Nazi intelligence agents, we brought in the leading pharmaceutical and banking. We gave them new identification, and we assimilated them into our society. We also did that with the infamous Japanese equivalent of Dr. Mengele, Dr. Ishii, I-S-H-I of Unit 731. And trust me, you couldn't even describe the horrors of what the Japanese biological experimentation was even involving. It's just it's just making us vomit. So the idea that somehow all of history just came to a nexus point at 1947, obviously when the flying saucers first started being reported, especially at Roswell and other places, we are in an accelerated mode where secretly the Nazis, in my opinion, their children and grandchildren and their great-grandchildren still rule the world. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I want to validate one thing you said because I've heard it from my own father. He worked with some of these scientists towards the end of that program. And some of them weren't quite fully integrated yet. They were still under guard. In fact, some of them even came to our house, and I remember them as a child. I spoke a fair amount of German then because we had my German grandmother living with us, and I used to converse with them. But here's what my dad told me towards the end of his life when he started revealing some things that I had to keep quiet until both my parents were gone because of the security clearance. He said, he asked them, how did you get so far ahead of everybody else in the world with regard to physics, propulsion, vertical liftoff craft, and so forth? And they said, well, we got it from aliens. And my dad said, did you ever meet them? And they said, well, no, but this is what our supervisors told us. This is what our commanders told us. So I asked him the question. I said, do you think they're real? In other words, aliens, fallen angels, whatever you want to call them. And his answer was, I have no idea. But the Germans I worked with were convinced that they were.
Well, and I would just echo that. You cannot separate, and here's what I want to share. I really try and footnote everything. In other words, you know, if I have an opinion, I obviously express it. But when I'm quoting history or people that have done a fantastic job of tracking down the different Nazis that escaped from Germany, and let me share this, not one single world leader believed that Hitler died in the bunker in Berlin, not one.
Right.
Stalin even said that, quote unquote, I'm quoting Stalin now, so don't get mad, but that bastard got away. Eisenhower, there's not one shred of evidence that would cause me, Dwight Eisenhower speaking, to even believe that Hitler was in the bunker. We know that, you know, the Germans had six-engine aircraft. They were whatever, the JU, I think, 390s, that could travel to Johannesburg, South Africa, and back without refueling. So, you know, I've been in contact, by the way, Dave, when we start talking about the Antarctic, I've had people from all over the world, no exaggeration, who've been there in the last 2 weeks contacting me and talking about all of the, if you will, the intelligence agents and advance guards, that's their word, that are in the Antarctica. Something big is happening. Something very soon to be announced is happening. And one of the guys who said he was down there with three other Christians, he said, we had to fight to literally stay airborne. Four times our airplane, and obviously people have got to remember that, and the Antarctic is the fifth largest continent in the world. So we're not talking about, you know, going to Hawaii and going from one end to the other. And I think it's important that people understand just how big it is. And he validated so much for me, but one thing that I've tried to get people to understand in talking about ancient history and how it affects our lives today, there are a group of individuals that keep all of the, if you will, the most ancient technology, and I'm not talking about spears, tomahawks, obsidian axes, and other stuff. I'm talking about the most advanced technology in the world. And let's use, my term would be fallen angel technology. Obviously, there are so many out-of-place artifacts, which are called uparts in history. So what I've tried to do all these years, Dave, and I've been writing about this stuff now, I think, for 25 years, maybe 30 years, because actually, even before I went on talk radio, but investigating it for 44. So, you know, I'm 65, so let's see, what is that, 21? I started about 21. So given the immense amount of focusing on Hitler, after I came out with my book in December of 2015, okay, everything, the world's papers, not referring to my book, but I don't want to make that statement, but they were referring to all of, like, for instance, Heinrich Himmler's lost occult library, 13,000 volumes. There was the series by the History Channel, Hunting Hitler, launched. There was this preoccupation with Hitler, and even Mein Kampf, my struggle, came back into publication after being banned for so many years. By the way, it became a global bestseller. Now, what's fascinating as we fast forward to tonight's topic, when you're dealing with all of the perversion of Hollywood, okay, and without detailing, I think everybody knows how perverted they are, and the perversion of the globalists, the perversion of the Satanists, the open Satanism now in the United States. And by the way, Dietrich Eckhart called Satan the Great One. And if people would understand this one thing, just as we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, look forward to the Lord's second coming, they look forward to the coming of Satan on earth, even so much that the book of Revelation says that woe unto you, inhabitants of the earth, for your adversary, the devil, has come down amongst you, knowing he has but a short time. So, I mean, he's going to show up, and when he shows up, it's not going to be veiled, it's not going to be in secrecy, it's not going to be with black robes, it's going to be public. And what you're seeing right now is those who are absolutely yielded to that power, the dark world, if you will, the dark magic, the dark arts, they're all starting to, how should I say, they're bringing forth their evil fruit. And I think God's making it clear to people. Now, if people still choose to say, oh, I don't believe this stuff, this is all just doom porn, it's all fear, you know, look, then take it up with Jesus. My answer now is the same as the Lord Jesus Christ gave it to his followers: men's hearts failing them for fear of looking after those things coming upon the earth. So the reason you, Dave Hodges, and myself, and Doug, and everybody who's in this movement, I'm not leaving anybody out, but I'm just dealing with tonight, we're starting to get the picture presented to the people that so many years, actually decades, we had a jigsaw puzzle. You got pieces, I got pieces, you know, everybody's got pieces of it, but now God's saying, I want to give you the piece you've been looking for, because it's time. And I would call those timed pieces. And so when you get into the realm of understanding the Third Reich and the Fourth Reich, the control of business, the control of pharmaceuticals, the vaccination programs, the advanced physics, you know, even Oberth, who you're quoting, you know, one of the guys that may have come to your house was more than familiar with this gentleman, probably the number two smartest guy in the world. He said, today we cannot produce machines that fly the same as UFOs do. They are flying by means of artificial fields of gravity. This would explain the sudden changes of directions. This hypothesis would also explain the piling up of these disks into a cylindrical or cigar-shaped mothership upon leaving the Earth. How many times have we seen the International Space Station feeds cut? How many times have people seen cylinders and rods and not understood it? Yet here we're talking in 1972, Hermann Oberth, again, probably the second smartest rocket guy in the world. The three biggest guys are Goddard, Oberth, and obviously Dr. Wernher von Braun. And there are some smart, smart people out there. So after Operation High Jump, and obviously Operation, and I don't think I better explain Operation High Jump, because we got listeners that are probably, you know, this may be the first time they've ever heard it. Operation High Jump was in 1947 when the United States, under Admiral Byrd, who was the famous polar and Antarctic explorer, was given command of 13 ships to go and seek out reputed hidden Nazi bases under the ice. Now, I want to make it clear, under the ice and secret underground and underwater bunkers. You cannot understand the Third Reich if any of you watch Hunting for Hitler. Hitler had an affinity, and the Germans had the technology to build some of the most amazing in the side of mountain tunnels. They were just gifted, and I mean gifted. And obviously, Ober said where that gifting came from in digging tunnels and bunkers, even from Berlin. The bunker in Berlin led to the airfield, and all of the different ways and the different means that escape were plotted and planned. You go into Bariloche, I think I'm pronouncing it right, in Argentina, and you go to all of the different places. When you follow the placements and eyewitness testimonies of people who actually saw Adolf Hitler, actually saw Goering, actually saw different Nazi high command, especially Dr. Mengele, you come to the conclusion that they were planning their escape for a long time. So, Operation High Jump, basically, we got our rear ends kicked. We came back. Admiral Byrd made the infamous statement that, you know, we have to catch up because there are flying craft that can go from the pole to the pole in a matter of minutes. I'm paraphrasing. So I've been at this for a long time. And again, in order to understand the globalists, their control of technology, what they're trying to do to CERN, everything has its root in the occult. The word occult means hidden. But when you're going into the study of the Third Reich and all the different societies and all the different expeditions around the world to find sacred objects, you know, one of the most important things that Hitler was after was the Spear of Destiny or the Spear of Longinus. That was a spear that the Roman thrust into Jesus' side while he was on the cross. So to them, that was a relic, if you will, a relic with supernatural power, and by it, it was Hitler's desire to kill all Christians. He was looking for a new world in which the Übermensch or the Superman would rule.
Well, I think that's where we're at, and that kind of takes us to Antarctica. Let me ask you something, Steve. Before Obama left office, John Kerry went to the South Pole. Any idea why?
Well, yeah, I believe he was summoned there, and I'm telling you, by summon means that there is a how do I say this, extranational or supranational group of very evil entities, and I'm not even going to say that they're human. I believe personally, Dave, I believe they're fallen angels. I want to make something clear. After 40 years, fallen angels are not demons. A demon is a disembodied spirit. Fallen angels do not die. Demons can get cast out, but they can re-enter into the different hosts. So John Kerry was summoned to the Antarctic. Now, we have treaties down there, and, you know, obviously there's all the different countries working together. But while that was happening, people have got to understand, why would a secretary of, the head of the State Department, why would he go there, Secretary of State? Yeah. And why would he go there and spend the amount of time there, knowing that Obama had been there secretly, the Pope had been there, the Patriarch Kirill of the Russian Orthodox Church had been there, all of the world's dignities and power, and by the way, power brokers, what my friend, who is a new friend, told me, as he said, it's like the who's who, and this was just 2 weeks old, Dave, I don't know if I've said this, maybe I did on a podcast or something I did, but he told me that it's the who's who. World leaders are being summoned. Who is powerful enough? Let me ask you the question. I mean, obviously, I think we can conjecture, but who is powerful enough to basically command and demand the presence of the world's most powerful religious figures and also the world's most powerful political figures?
I don't have names to put on them, Steve, but I can place them, I think, at the proper level. They're at least a level above Rockefeller and Rothschild.
Very good, very good. And Rockefeller and Rothschild, if anybody knows the history of the Rothschild, you know, they do worship Satan openly. They worship him with very clear. So it would have to be someone above them. By the way, that's a really good answer because, you know, most people just stop there and say, I'll go further. I think Jesus gave us the understanding. The love of money, not money, but the love of it is the root of all evil. The control of the money of the world is a control of all evil. And once the people of the world wake up, Dave, with the derivatives, now this is really interesting. There is a supernatural element controlling the finances of the world. Jesus said the whole world lies in the evil one. He didn't say part of it. He didn't say a portion of it. He didn't say just the, you know, the right hand or the left hand. He said the whole, the entire world lies in the evil one. So they who control the money of the world and basically use money as their power are the ones that are orchestrating behind the scenes. And what did, who was tempted by Satan? Well, Jesus was. Jesus was told if he just bow down and worship Satan, that all the kingdoms of the world that you know, Satan would give them back to Jesus. And Jesus rebuked him and said, obviously, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But the point is that at some point, Satan held a deed until the cross that Jesus, if you will, redeemed back the authority over the earth. But it's not yet manifested because there's going to be war on the planet. So going one step further, the secret technology and the hidden technology of the ancients has always been controlled by a group of keepers, K-E-E-P-E-R-S. As I've tracked this, it goes back to the time of Egypt. And when I talk about the Egyptian brotherhood, or forgive me, when I talk about the Egyptian priesthood, I'm not talking about the Egyptian brotherhood of contemporary times. I'm talking about when Francis Bacon, who some people believe was Shakespeare, in talking about, in writing, you know, New Atlantis, he was talking about advanced technology and science which you could not put into understanding. I mean, this is in the, you know, 1520s, and that a group had entrusted him and them. And obviously, you know, you're talking about one of the most famous, if you will, scientific and intellectual minds of its day, Sir Francis Bacon. So what's interesting to me now is that all of the Antarctic pyramids and all of the hidden technology is going to be revealed. So why is this critical right now? Well, first of all, those who control the scenes from under the ice are soon to appear and basically make their presence known. Now, will this be the great deception? Remember that, obviously, Dr. Mengele, succeeded in twinning, in other words, being able to, you know, produce twins, and also it's believed that with help from some very bright scientists, he also perfected cloning. Human cloning. And human cloning isn't based on the natural progression, you know, you gotta grow up as a normal clone through childhood, like the boys of Brazil or whatever. But no, you can accelerate the mitochondria, and these guys can grow clones. Now, what's fascinating, most people say, well, I don't believe that. You're just out there. You've been drinking something. No, I haven't. I've been trying to partake of the fountains of living water, and as I understand this, it becomes more and more specific. You talk about different people talking to you. About a number of years ago, this is 2017, let's say around 2008, 2009, I knew some guys who were very highly placed in the world of black ops. They were active four-star generals. And when they explained to me how advanced cloning was and how quickly you could download a person, they told me two terms, okay? It was interesting. They called the actual, in other words, a Dave Hodges, you or Steve would be the actual, but anything duped off of us would be dupe 1, 2, 3. So it's interesting that people would always remark that even seeing Obama or some different foreign dignitaries or well-known people always seem to have different scars on their head or different size earlobes or different size this or different size that. I can't say for sure that those guys are cloned, but I will tell you this. I was on Coast to Coast. This is a very important story. And I had made the statement, and some of you may have remembered this. I said, what would happen if the world's leaders were replaced with controlled automatons or controlled leadership that were taking their orders from, if you will, some central command, what would happen? Well, I was told again by another general that a certain individual in Brussels went so crazy over that statement that he literally went into a rage and supposedly off some of his own bodyguards. Off means took their lives. Now, can I prove that? Absolutely not. But I will share this with you. It's been hard, Dave, when talking about writing about the things of bringing Jurassic giants back to life, whether they're woolly mammoths or the dodo bird or whatever, only to hear last week that they found dinosaur, if you will, protein that they can extract live DNA from in blood vessels. You know, when Michael Crichton wrote Jurassic Park, it was ahead of its time, but it's already being done. So the things of mythology are being done, and that's where, again, it gets back into Hitler. Hitler was convinced that he would be the one to bring about a new world order, and it would be the ultimate thousand-year reign of the Ubermensch, or the Superman. Now, I want to share something. There are, and I detail it, people will argue, but there are specific friends of Hitler's that talked about him acknowledging that he became literally possessed, okay, possessed with demons. Those closest to him claim to him to have been possessed. So we know from the Bible that when someone dies, that evil spirit goes out looking for another home. What would happen? I'm just saying this. What would happen if the DNA of Adolf Hitler had been preserved in such a manner? And what would happen if, now I'm just, this is just me, if he and some of the most evil people in history have been, how should I say this, genetically reconstituted, and the evil spirits that were in them were back, okay? That's not very far-fetched, and I can tell you point blank that when you've got, I think it was Ted Williams who went cryogenic, and others who have been cryogenically having their bodies frozen. And let me just, if people think this is wild, the Egyptians mummified their dead, especially those of importance and royalty, and they put their organs in what are called canopic, C-A-N-O-P-I-C jars. The DNA that is extractable, remember, every pharaoh was believed to be the descendant of the gods, to be a god himself. So what I'm saying is, imagine this, imagine the most evil people in the world, and Hitler kind of set the stage with the Ahnenerbe, a group of special SS, his bodyguards, and some of the smartest scientists that Germany had to search throughout the world for genetic anomalies. He was looking for the genes of giants. By the way, Mengele had a real fascination, and I'm talking not like what we would call little people, but I'm talking, what the Hawaiians would call the Manhuni, or the Pedro the Mountain Mummy, the if you will, the little people, or the little creatures. Now, again, I document it, Dave. People go, oh, no, man, now he's into fairy tales. I'm telling people this, that the world we're coming into now is so far advanced that anytime you see any genetic engineering experiments announced or what it's going to mean, you're only being let in on probably 40-year-old technology. And where they are now is so advanced that, simply, Dave, I don't think people can embrace this because, you know, they've been so numbed down, dumbed down, divorced from history. So every time you write an article or I write an article, we go on the show together, we have to bring people into what I would call a historic perspective. And there's a generation that simply, unless God opens their eyes, cannot understand what we're talking about because to them, the history of this country or the history of the world is no longer relevant. The only thing that's relevant is the new game of, and I'm not a gamer and I'm not picking on gamers, but new video game, and those now, even gamers are sending me emails saying, do you know how evil this is getting? And I said, oh yeah, I think I do. To divorce a person from a reality and substitute a virtual reality in which you define all the imagery, the sounds, the infrasonics, and the, if you will, mind control or neuro-linguistic programming, I think you can see that mind control has gone a long way beyond some of the early 1960s and early 70s spy movies. We're there, and we're there in such a fast and furious mode now that unless God, and I'm praying that God will, and I believe God is, he's showing the sins of the leaders. It's just like this. If you see statements of people going back to Hitler and people, now, to liken the current president to Hitler is such an aberration of history, because Hitler hated Jesus Christ. He hated him. And you've got Donald Trump asking men of God and women of God to pray for him. And when he says, and look, this is in defense of Donald Trump, because I don't get it, Dave. Maybe you can explain this to me, and I'm serious. I'm asking for your insight. What is it that would supposedly possess, professing Christians to slam him? And look, moral failures? Brother, I got moral failures, but I've got Jesus to wipe away my sin. But why is it that when someone comes and tells the truth and begins to show leadership that upsets the globalist desire to turn this into a giant communist, hellhole, meaning the United States, that there's so few people that, and when I say few, there are so few voices that can articulate to put it into perspective. This is a supernatural battle. I'll tell you this, Dave, I've never seen so much hatred for someone who's asking for prayer and saying the pulpits have got to be freed up to speak their minds as I have now. It just is astonishing to me. Your answer, your feedback, sir.
I think it's on multiple dimensions. I think, first of all, it riles up the radical left. I hate to use that term. Shall we say the Democratic Communist Party, as I like to call them now, because they don't want to let go of control. You know, there's an old saying, most people just want to be left alone, and then there are those who won't leave them alone. Well, that's a Democratic Communist. Now, on another level, for the central part of your question about why do Christians deny reality, well, psychologists have a lot of answers for this, but it really comes down to one thing, cognitive dissonance. When the worldview changes so much, and everything that you thought was true is no longer true, we begin to create a false reality and slip into that, rather than face the hard, cold truth. And this is what Donald Trump is bringing us. We're admitting Muslims, who about 10% of them could pose a danger to our country. 90% won't. So why not screen them? Well, we've got the country saying, well, we don't know if this is a good idea now. Although I read a poll, Rasmussen poll, 58% says they approve of it. But I think it's cognitive dissonance for the Christian, Steve. And also, I think there's another element. Some of us suffer from learned helplessness. We're so conditioned that we can't have an impact on our government that we just give up. And that's probably about 25% of the country.
Well, and now you've got basically Donald Trump taking his case, President Donald Trump taking his case to the social media, and it's like the left, and look, I want to make this statement. I'll finish my thought here. It's like the left is having a tizzy fit because, you know, he's doing what basically social media thought they could rule, if you will, the communist existence that they have planned for this country. So given the fact that Donald Trump, and I have said this, and I said it 14 months ago, now 15 months ago, I believe that Donald Trump is God's prosecuting attorney. He's showing the people of this country the great evil, and I think quite candidly that WikiLeaks, whether, you know, the intelligence community hates him or not, God has used the WikiLeaks scandal and scandal-producing scoundrels to show just how corrupt this country is. Because, you know, when Trump made this statement in his statement about Vladimir Putin, and O'Reilly was jumping on his throat, you know, and Trump spoke the truth about, well, hey, we don't have clean hands. That's the truth. Yet even it seemed like to me that O'Reilly was trying to say, well, no. So the point is that when you can go on hidden in your evil, it has to be stopped. And so all I'm saying is this. I don't know how long God has given us, but I pray that the people, especially the Christians, get it in their hearts and get it on their knees and let faith come into their confession of faith and believing that, you know, that God has given us the answer to our prayers, but it also has thrust everyone now into the battlefield. You know, when you see the riots and you see, you know, some girl with a Trump hat on, you know, I mean, if you're going to be a Trump hat, I pray you're a third degree, fourth degree black belt or a Cobb McGraw teacher, okay? I'm serious. Because, yeah. Again, you cannot deal with insane people with an argument. It just doesn't work. And when now you hear that a professor's out bragging about punching people and knocking them out, I just pray, seriously, and I'm not kidding, I pray that you get the bikers who are real bikers that go in there and set the record straight. Someone says, well, are you saying, Steve, that you are advocating violence? No, I'm saying this. Until something greater than the violence comes against those violent ones, they're not going to stand down. And didn't it amaze you that the Berkeley cops just stood there? They were ordered to stand down. And look, Dave, here's the thing. All of the leaders of this country who are in the occult, and I would guess you can pretty much name them as governors, as senators, as congressmen, we know that the whole world lies in the evil one. We know that the globalists are upset. We know that they will do anything they can. And this is exactly the same situation that produced Hitler. And I'm not talking about President Donald Trump. I'm talking about George Soros, he who declares himself to be God. And if Christians want to know how to stop this and the power of prayer, pray imprecatory prayer against that guy, that God literally exposes him and takes him out of his position of influence. How God does it is God's business. But again, I'm hoping, Dave, that people will rise up and recognize that this time is a time to really take our authority as believers in Jesus Christ and also stand against evil. So back to the Antarctica. The reason everybody is going down there of consequence, religious, political, and scientific, is that they are going to be making a collective announcement. The United Nations is failing, and God bless Donald Trump. God bless him. God bless him when he said, we got to get out of the UN. That is the most useless organization in the world that is bent on America's destruction, and we're paying for it. We're paying for it. So the League of Nations was a failure. United Nations will be a failure. And it will take the presence of the literal devil embodied on this earth to bring it together. But they need their third world war. So when I see rhinos, Republicans in name only, you know, rattling the saber to go to war with Russia, especially, how dare they, knowing that they're the ones that voted for the disarmament under Obama? And does that not also speak highly to cognitive dissonance? Look, we went to war with the Germans, and we thought they were a vanquished enemy in the Antarctic Sea, okay, in 1947, Operation High Jump, aircraft carrier, you know, submarine, all of the supply ships, et cetera, and we ended up coming back within about 9 months because we got our tails kicked, and that's when everything changed in the world. That's when, obviously, we started seeing advancements in science and everything. So if you control the world from an unseen location, and in my case, I believe it's Empire Beneath the Ice. By the way, most people don't know this, but just as we have HARP in Alaska at Gakona, G-A-K-O-N-A, and don't let anyone kid you, that's never been shut down. You know, that's just the official lie. There's the equivalent of a ionospheric heater in the southern hemisphere. And what's astonishing to me, and that would be the Antarctica, is again, when you see the amount of stories breaking, not only of ancient artifacts, ancient power sources, I'm not talking about old bones of giants or pyramids. I'm talking about an advanced civilization. I'm not talking about a bunch of old dead guys or dead things. I'm talking about real, if you will, historically significant powers and rulers and principalities that when they make themselves known, they're going to dazzle the world with lying signs and wonders, and the world's going to go after them. So that's what we're up against. And unless you understand, here's the bottom line. This is why I tell everyone, my book, Empire Beneath the Ice, How the Nazis Won World War II. It is a primer for understanding. It is a blueprint for understanding. As it was with the Third Reich, so it is with the Final Reich. And what you saw under Hitler, you will see exacerbated by a factor of, I don't know, I'm just making, you know, a thousandfold. So also, you know, death, death, death. And remember this, the idea was to kill off the subhuman race, as Hitler and his, if you will, secret society buddies claimed everybody other than them was, is no different than the same thing here. And finally, Dave, a guy I know that trained, he told me this, he trained former Navy SEAL, I guess, I don't know if you're former, but a retired Navy SEAL, whatever, he made the statement that when he would go around the different Middle East countries or different countries of the world training VIPs, bodyguards, etc., special forces, the one book that they always had in their bookcase that he noticed would be pulled out was Mein Kampf. My struggle. It's kind of like, if you will, a code amongst the Illuminati or the, you know, the elite that obviously they're following in that blueprint.
Do you think Hitler was anti-world, New World Order then?
No, I think Hitler was pro-New World Order. I think Hitler's the one that he wanted the New World Order. He wanted the, if you will, he wanted the Hyperboreans. He wanted to return to that frozen land of excellence. By the way, most people don't understand that Hitler had plans drawn up for New Berlin that are just astonishing. You'd almost claim they're right out of a science fiction movie. And how long do we have before the break right now?
About a minute and a half.
Okay, I want to get into something after we come back from the break, because again, I think it's important for people to hear just again how advanced the Third Reich was in their all of their undertakings, and we'll talk about stargates, because CERN is a stargate, and I want to talk about the glass panels that were held in front of CERN and who even brought that understanding to the forefront. That was Nazi technology.
That is absolutely fascinating, because I have wondered about the Stargate situation, too. Real quick question before we go to break, Steve. Are the pyramids tied into this concept, too?
Oh, yeah. Look, all over the world, prior to the flood of Noah, and there was a flood prior to the flood of Noah, which was prior to the creation, if you will, the recreation of the earth with God creating man in his image, called Jeremiah's flood, Jeremiah chapter 4, in the Old Testament. The thing that's fascinating, the pyramids were not built by Hebrew slaves. The pyramids are a global phenomenon. By erosion, there are ways to check the sedimentation. Dr. Robert Schock, very famous guy, geologist, like the pyramids of Yanguni, they play into everything. That was the universal, if you will, symbol. That was the angelic, if people can handle this, that was the angelic realm of heavenly structures, and they were also used as stargates. So when you talk about that, and they just brought out a new finding in a story I posted, I think, last week, Dave, on Gondwanaland. That was a supercontinent before, as the book of Genesis says, that God divided the nations. So before the flood of Noah, imagine a supercontinent, meaning, you know, there were lakes, but there was no oceans, and then imagine some form of a cataclysmic judgment splitting up the landmass and forming the different nations of the world. Now these guys basically, you know, if Humpty Dumpty fell off a wall, meaning the global plan for one world domination and one world control, now all the king's men and all the king's horses and their horses' rear ends are trying to put Humpty Dumpty, the New World Order, back together again.
Such a serious topic with some humor mixed in. Last question before we go to break, and we got about 10 seconds here. Is Antarctica command and control for the globalists?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. We'll explore that.
When we come back, I'll tell you how I know that and what I've been told concerning that.
This is fascinating stuff. Good background, good detail to launch forward into these important topics. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with my friend Steve Quayle, author of Empire Beneath the Ice. You want to get your copy. We'll see you back here in hour number 3.